opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I think we're on.
Are we?
That's it. Oh, look, I hear our song.
There we go.
We're getting there.
Yes. Welcome, welcome, North
welcome,
State.
Welcome, Northern California. This is Nigel and James.
How you doing?
It's kind of cool with that riff in the background.
It was. I actually like. I like it actually being able to talk over it,
really?
Instead of waiting for it.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool. Kind
is
of
it
cool
sacrilege?
Style.
Is that like walking on a headstone?
No. It's just Eddie doing his thing. So it's all good. I don't think he's going to mind at this point.
Right. North State, you're listening to
Nigel
and
James.
And we are here representing all kinds of things going on in the North State.
Yes, we are. It's July 20th, and if you're new to town, this weather.
Welcome to the heat.
Welcome to the heat. 105. The next cooling wave will happen in November, so it's going to be like this pretty much all the way through.
You know what I'm doing right now, Nigel?
Looking at your phone?
I'm looking at my phone because I am learning Celsius.
Oh, very good.
So I've transferred my phone into Celsius because I've just decided I'm tired of listening to the world say things, and I don't know a darn thing what they're saying. So I first thought I'd tackle Celsius, and then I'll start going into the metrics. But okay. It's 41 out right now, just so you know.
Yes, it's pretty warm. However, one of the things we represent is California Adventure District.
Yep.
Top northernmost counties, and thankfully, I'll have business out in Humboldt on Monday and Tuesday, where it's in the 60s.
Lucky you.
It's in the 60s, mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that. So let's get to this. So we've been hearing lately about you will eat the bugs and you will like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen these celebrities promoting eating bugs?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and
I've just seen government in general telling us that
the bugs
are coming.
So we have with us a guest who's very well versed in eating bugs. I think out of necessity.
Yeah, I was going to say he's a lot more than that, but that is one side that he can and will and has done.
And I think he can he can help this generation guide through the next season.
The better bugs,
better bugs, McBugs. We have with us Mr. Britt Ahart. Good afternoon, Britt.
How you doing? How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. First and foremost, your name.
My name is Britt, B-R-I-T-T, Ahart.
And what is that?
Well, that's a good question. I know I'm named after my grandfather, who was Britton, so
mm-hmm.
I took his last name as my middle name.
Okay.
And so I'm
I like
Britton.
Your name.
Thank you.
It's cool.
Thanks.
So, Britt Ahart is Ahart.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't like the term, but is a professional survivalist. He was. You were on the History Channel's Alone,
right?
Two seasons.
Yeah.
So it's actually kind of funny because even though that was a few seasons ago,
yeah,
even to this day, whenever I say, "Hey, I'm going to talk to Britt Hart," and they go, "From Alone?" Like, yeah, people still remember you.
Well, yeah, it's also getting more traction now because the way the pandemic and everything went, people started actually watching more of these shows and they started catching more notoriety and getting more traction. So people have seen the later shows and now they're going back and see the earlier shows.
Sure.
But it's also good that you mentioned my name and people remember me. That's pretty neat. I guess it made some sort of impact.
The era of digital television, being able to literally find anybody anywhere,
right.
Any season.
So how did you start,
Well, basically this started when I was younger and I enjoyed a lot of solitude because I wasn't really the person that fit into any sort of niches or groups or clubs. So I just enjoyed being outside a lot, and that progressed into me hiking a little bit and camping a little bit and probably setting some fires where I shouldn't have set some fires. And, you know, flash forward, I get into the Boy Scouts and just progressed on and on from there until, one of my friends who'd known me since childhood knew a little bit about my story and thought that if I tried out for this show, they'd think it was interesting. So I threw my hat in the ring, and then that's when it really started steamrolling. Because I don't like to say, I don't know if you refer to me as professional or whatever you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Far from that, I'm just I would call myself a resourceful survivor. Mm-hmm. Survivalist.
Well, you still accomplished something.
Well, yeah.
At a level. That, see, James and I would be fine because we have about 90 days of blubber just
we're
together.
We're part camel.
We'll survive.
One big hump.
Your storage there. You got your storage to draw from.
Yeah, we'll be fine for about 90 days, and then it'll deteriorate rapidly.
Right.
But, you made a conscious decision to go do something that the vast majority of us wouldn't even really consider.
I'll tell you, because the concept of the show I thought was interesting because it was just a solitary endeavor. Like, I wanted to see, can I do this all by myself? Because all through my life, I'd been doing things on my own, camping on my own, practicing on my own, basically living kind of an isolated existence, not to the extent that it was, awkward. I did integrate with people, but I just liked the concept of trying to test myself in an atmosphere that was going to be that harsh and that taxing.
Yeah.
So,
why not? I mean, I've just met you, obviously, and I know you from TV, but that's all I know of you. I would never look at you and think that you were somebody that was an antisocial. I mean, even though you like being alone, right? You don't have the presence of that kind of a person. A lot of times people that are antisocial, you can kind of tell, right?
Yeah, well, I can
either that or you fake it well.
Well, I don't fake it well. I just have to kind of encourage myself to be more sociable. It's mm-hmm. not, but naturally I'm more comfortable in by myself. And that's just how it's always been.
Yeah, right.
So I can integrate with people and I can interact with people, but hey. I just find
so
comfort
were you
being
that, were
by
you
myself.
That kid that when you were a teenager you said, uh-oh, "Okay, Mom, see you later," and you came back like 5 days later?
To a degree, maybe not that much, but I would just go wandering out of the house, disappear into the woods, go hiking, and then, back when I was young, just be back when it gets dark.
Yeah.
That's all you had to worry about back then. So, yeah, I was.
Okay, so how did you get picked for the first season?
Well, I just filled out an application. You had to do an extensive paperwork and some video filming. I sent it in, and then I totally forgot about it because it wasn't, going to be a real thing for me. Tossed my hat into the ring. And so 6 months later, I got a voicemail. And I'm like, "Well, who's this? I'd missed it." And they were like, "Hey, this is from the History Channel. We're interested in pursuing you further and getting some more information about you." I'm like, I should probably tell my wife that I tried out for this show. Because I didn't tell her. I had no idea that it was going to even progress that far. So I just, did that. So after that happened, it really started steamrolling. I had to do, self-documenting myself at home. I had to practice doing bushcrafting in my yard because they really wanted to see your on-camera presence,
mm-hmm.
and how you conducted yourself and if you had the skills. Because, it's a television show.
Yep.
I can build a structure, but if I can't be good in front of the camera when I build the structure, they don't want me on the show. So.
Sure. Well, there you go. See, my perfect, you were able to obviously do it well on camera.
Yeah.
Right?
So.
So you had to be a cameraman. A documentarian,
but that's also called
all of that.
That's also called acting. So that's a skill.
Well,
I mean, it's real, but you are actually having to.
I think I more tap into a part of myself that I'm not comfortable doing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do that all the time. I'm the kind of person, I have zero problem with public speaking in front of hundreds of people.
Okay.
I mean, I've even sung at graduations and stuff like that. So I can get in front of crowds,
mm-hmm.
but then when it's the one-on-one interaction, it's a little bit more difficult. And I don't know what that says about my personality, but that's just what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's how it came to be on the show. It was just kind of like, let me just see what happens. And sure. then it happened. And then...
And the show's premise, just for those that have never seen it, is it's this out-in-the-wild survivalist yeah. show by yourself.
Right. There's 10 participants with 10 survival items. You're dropped separately in remote locations to see how long you can survive on your own, building your own shelters, procuring your own food, making your own fires, staying mm-hmm. safe. And the whole time you do this, you have to self-document the entire experience, which is another thing I think that's really cool about the show, is because you get each individual's perspective on how they are experiencing the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So tell you what, we're going to take our first little break. Pat, ready? And when we come back, we'll find out where you went.
Okay.
I think it was far away, right?
Pretty far, about as far as you can go from here, yeah.
We'll be right back.
All right.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And so that's kind of, I don't want to say this on camera, but that's...
And I think we're back. Yeah, that was a bit. Yeah,
close one.
We're highly trained professionals
the
here.
The secret was almost out.
Yeah, don't say that on camera.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're back, Nigel James, and we have our special guest Britt Hart.
Yes, sir. And give your boy
my
in here.
Stepson Tanner
is here.
He's here. He's a big fan.
Yeah.
And he always wants to see what we're doing, and he wants to.
So he's in the corner drinking water, eating nuts, and.
Yeah. And he's surviving.
Just absorbing the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So the first show, where'd you go?
The first show was in Argentina, all the way down at the bottom in the Patagonian area. So that was pretty exotic.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time that the show had actually left Canada. So I was really honored to be a part of that. And it was
a Canadian-produced show.
It's not a Canadian-produced show, but they tend to film in Canada.
Okay.
Just for
the wilderness.
For the wilderness and the regulations and the stuff they're allowed to do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did it take you to get down there?
Wow. I think it took about, in terms of all the travel we had to do, for me, I think it might have been like 2.5 days just for layovers and stuff like that. And then we're down there for about a week or so while we're waiting for everybody to come from different parts of the United States and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spend a little time down there getting acclimated to the area before we launch off to our locations to begin the actual, you know, body of the show.
And they drop you off, right?
Yeah, they drop us off. They pick us up in a helicopter, fly us all around to get you disoriented, and then they drop you on a body of land and say, okay,
you can
go from here to here. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And then they take off, and then that's the most quiet that I've ever experienced.
So give us a little bit of an overview of the territory, Patagonia. Like, I mean, what is it like?
It's
mountainous.
It was a beautiful mountainous region, crystal clear, pristine lakes, really woody where I was.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't like the plains. You're getting dropped typically in a forest or on mm-hmm. the edge of some sort of forest
mm-hmm.
just for so you have the allotted resources that you need.
Sure.
But it was one of the most beautiful places I've ever been.
Jungle foresty or like our kind of forest?
More jungle foresty because it's undisturbed. We're going to places that are generally uninhabited
because
you don't want a chance running into anybody else who's going to be out there. So they put us in places that are mostly undisturbed by any other people going through there. So it's thick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, natural
forests.
So
did you have that, when they dropped you off and left, did you have that moment of like, okay, what the heck have I just done?
I think everybody does.
Yeah.
Because you're all excited about what you're doing. You've seen people on the show. You're like, oh, I could do that. I could do that. I could be right there.
Mm-mm.
But the whole tornadic, you know, preparatory experience, that culminates in just boom and absolute silence. Nobody can deny the impact that it has the second you get there. And I personally, like the first time I landed, I was shaking. I didn't know which way to go. My heart was racing. I was like, do I go this way or this way? What do I do?
Yeah.
And that's why the first time I was there, I burned myself out really quick because I couldn't pace myself and center myself and focus myself. So, and I can, you know, I've conferred with other people who are on the show, and just that alone, that initial drop off has such a profound effect on your frame of mind.
Psyche.
It takes
real.
A minute, at least for me, to recover. I had to like stop and get my breath before I could even like function. It's a little bit scary.
As you're talking to me, I'm getting all tightened up and like
it's fantastic.
I want to start hyperventilating.
Yeah, I start remembering how I felt.
We get stressed just driving through Trinity County.
I know.
Yeah. The second time they dropped me, as soon as they left, I started crying. I was like, "What am I?" Because I was
Again?
So freaking out. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, the second time.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't know, what am I doing here? And I knew that I was going to be starving again and freezing again and lonely again. So all those emotions overwhelmed me instantly, and I realized I'd just been holding on to my strength by like a thread. As soon as the helicopter drove away, just started crying. And then I was like, okay, that's enough.
But you didn't record yourself crying?
No, camera was on. Yeah, if it's not recording, it didn't happen. And you want people to know your story.
Yeah.
So you really, I personally, I kept the camera rolling all the time because I didn't want to miss any part of, you know. Another thing, when the camera goes off, then you're, I really felt like I was by myself.
Yeah.
If there's a camera recording, then somebody hears me. My voice is going to reach somewhere. So.
Okay, so I want to go back to the very first one.
Yeah.
What was the first meal?
The first meal when I landed in Argentina. The first meal after
like,
I left
yeah,
the store when
they,
I was...
After they dropped you off.
Yeah. We say meal, but it might have been just a cricket.
Well, I was eating greens because I didn't have any fish. I wasn't catching any fish yet, so I was eating the wild plantains. I was eating a mushroom called lengua de vaca, which is a cow's tongue mushroom, and it looks like a cow's tongue sitting on a tree. They had this stuff called rose hips, which is kind of like a small strawberry with little spikes on it. But here's the tip. If you don't get the spikes off, you'll get something called itchy butt. So get the spikes off. You can probably figure out what that means. So I was eating a lot of greens until I could finally catch some insects and start catching some fish. And then it was fish.
Itchy butt.
Yeah, that's fantastic when you're out in the middle of the woods and you got a case of itchy butt.
Yeah, no.
Got to find a nice tree with some bark.
I'm good. So how long did you last on the first show?
I was out there for 35 days.
Oh, 35
my days.
God.
35 days. Yep, and that was a rough 35 days.
To be really honest with you, I mean, in full disclosure, I've never seen a full episode. I've seen trailers and stuff. So I don't even really know. So you have all these people. They've all been dropped off. Is it the last to tap out?
Is that how?
Oh, God.
It is. And you don't know who's tapping out.
Right.
So it's a game with yourself.
Oh, no. Oh, hell no. I'm done already.
Right.
I'm out.
Every time you hear a noise, like a helicopter, you're like, maybe somebody else is leaving.
Out, yeah.
Maybe I'm almost
there. It's like Hunger Games.
Yeah.
But you just need somebody to shoot something in the air so you know something's dead. Somebody's not dead, but somebody's out of the game.
Right. That would be nice. A little indicator. But no, you're just in your head the whole time.
And then just someday somebody comes and picks you up and say you won.
Yeah. But they come periodically every week for med checks and for like data swaps. So every time somebody shows up, you're like, am I going home now?
Yeah, because you won.
Am I going home now? My mood goes up and then you're not. Your mood goes way down.
Well, this is torture.
It is. That's why I'm saying that there's a whole psychological effect just behind the, you know, the bushcrafting and camping part of the show. That's just
so 31 days,
35. Don't short me days.
Yeah, no, I earned
them.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And you finished where? Second
place? I was seventh.
Seventh.
Seventh place at 35 days. I left and I was like, man, I mean, but also I was the only one that walked out of a cubicle.
Yeah.
Everybody else was like their outdoor wilderness full time.
Well, and you don't even have, that's legit, right? But you don't even have to have that excuse to for my respect. I mean, 31 days of anything.
35.
35. I don't know why I have 31.
Those 4 days, you give them to me, man. Those are my 4 days.
35 days of anything. I can't follow through on 35 days of anything with all the comforts of the world, right? Yep. 35 days of not having chocolate? No, not going to happen.
And losing a pound a day. I lost a pound a day.
See, now we're talking.
Well, and you're already.
I looked great when I came home.
I was going to say, and you're already in great shape, so you must have been just a twig.
I probably cut 4 holes in my belt, and I still had to walk around like this.
Oh my God.
It was disconcerting. So that's another thing that makes you scared. I could put my fingers underneath my ribs. So I was, I'm like, should I be out here? I think I should go home. I'm doing damage.
So what was, now I'm going to go all the way to the end because there's a lot in the middle, but what was the final deciding factor at 35 days when you finally just said, okay, I'm done. I need.
Well, I can talk for myself, and it was a culmination of things. I was so cold. I was worried about my family because on the terms with which I left, I wasn't comfortable that they were okay because I was in my head. I was so hungry. I wasn't getting enough food. I mean, I was walking. I was burning 300 calories to have a 100-calorie meal.
Yeah.
And then it just came to a point where I'm like, I just don't have the energy to it. And then I set a snare on one of the last days, and I had caught an animal that had gotten out. Just like, I was that close. Like, I don't know if I can mentally recover from this. And I was just at my wit's end. So I decided on night 34, you know what? I got to go home. And the whole time you're looking at a device where you can press a button and you're done. So yeah. You know it's that simple. So
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, let me just make it to.
There's a lot of psychological torture.
Yeah. I make it to a 5-week mark, and I'm.
So you push the button, they come get you, and then do they tell you, oh, you know, there's six more that are just out there still?
No, we don't know. I didn't know yet for a while. Like
You don't know until it's done, right?
Everything stays under wraps. I mean, we sign more non-disclosure agreements than I did paperwork for my house. They want to keep everything on the hush because they don't want to spoil it.
Sure.
So, you know, after you're done, you go back, you have a little grace period while you're getting a little bit of doctor attention and stuff like that before you even go home.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And when you, before you go, are you given like vaccines up the wazoo?
No, we did take vaccines prior to going there. They wanted to know that we were up to date on some shots. I know in another season we had to take it was suggested that we take a medicine to prevent an infection that was running in the ticks out there. It wasn't the hantavirus, that's for mice.
That's mice.
But there was something with ticks, so we had to take a shot.
Well, and that's why I asked, because I'm assuming you're going somewhere where you're not used, your system's biologically not prepared to handle a lot of things you're going to encounter.
So we're told about the warnings. It's up to us if we want to take those vaccinations or not. So some people, illness has taken out people too.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yep. Just water, bacteria, anything. Butt.
Anything, I know. A horrible case of itchy butt.
So how many seasons went by before you did it again?
One season. So I was on season 3. I took a little respite, and then they wanted me back for season 5. Which was the fan favorite redemption. Come on back. Let's see.
Okay. I was going to say good. Is that one of those redemption? Yeah.
So everybody on that one was from the previous season.
So they contacted you, and then was that like an instant, yeah, I'll do it? Was it like, oh man.
No. So here's what happened. My wife and I, we had taken, it was a delayed honeymoon. So we happened to be sitting at a bar in Puerto Rico. And for some reason, her intuition was like, I have a feeling they're going to call you to be on the show again. And I'm like, ding, 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 ding. But now you say it now. Cause I hadn't told her. She's like, well, they actually did call me. I was so glad she brought it up. So she was like, well, if they called you, I think you got to do it. So it was her
good
blessing.
For her.
Else I
wouldn't
have done.
You're on the honeymoon. You really rolling some dice.
I would plan to bring it up to her then anyway. I was like, I'm going to take you down to Puerto Rico. Cause you know, a lot of people, they come out of this and they have rocky relations with people because they come back looking different, thinking different, feeling different. And some people come
eating
back
different.
Some people come back with really swollen heads too. And unfortunately, so that happens as well.
Their little bit of fame besides the challenges and stuff.
That can happen to totally, anybody, I guess.
I can totally imagine any of that.
So the second
stuff.
One was China?
Mongolia. Yeah. That was something else. I won't even talk about getting there, but after you're there, I'm like, I can't believe where I am. I was on the total opposite side of the world. That was such an amazing place. And just the experience there before we even launched, just, messing with the culture, meeting the people, learning a lot about, you know, the lifestyle there. But my time out in the bush there was a lot different, to say the least.
Now, I'm not familiar with the landscape of Mongolia, but I mean, I envision lots of plains,
mountainous, sandy, but where they position us, they're not going to put us in an area like that. They do put us in some proximity to water because they wanted everybody to have, you know, the basic amount of resources to level the playing field before everybody starts. So we were actually on a river.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So did you feel more prepared?
Absolutely. I knew what it was going to feel like to be freezing. I left my family in much better standing, so I was in a much stronger mental state, and I knew what it was going to be like to starve. So that's probably why I started crying when they dropped me on the beach. I'm like, damn it, it's about to happen again.
PTSD.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I was ready. I was much more mentally prepared the second time around.
So what was your first meal? In Mongolia.
My first meal in Mongolia were fish, because I was able to catch grasshoppers quickly.
Oh, and you should have bait.
And I was catching fish all over the place. I ended up leaving there, and I caught 66 fish while I was there. So I was eating fish.
So in
all
Mongolia,
the time.
He came back with an extra 5 pounds.
No, in Mongolia, I lost 50 pounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 50 pounds.
Like
that was that was taxing.
How long did you last on that one?
I was out there 56 days.
Oh, no.
Pound a day. Yep.
Okay, great. Well, say what? There's actually a reason for Brit. Gosh. There's actually a reason for Brit going from Mongolia to Reading. There's a reason why he's here. We'll get to that in a minute. But we're going to take our next break, and we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back, Nigel and James.
A little different of our jam.
Yeah, we have Mr. Tanner here. And our special guest, Britt Ahart, he was just telling us about spending 56 days in Mongolia. That's like almost 2 months. But before we get into that, I do want to mention that there's actually a really good reason why he's here. He didn't just show up to Reading to come and see us, right? Even though that would be good. But there's actually a summer camp, adventure camp going on through the Cascade School District.
Yeah.
In Anderson. As a Cascade adventure camp for the kids. And it's kind of like a summer school on steroids. So it's lots of adventure stuff going on. And Britt, you are actually leading a survival camp, survival group of kids.
I am.
In the Anderson River Park.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you lost any yet?
Not yet. Actually, some of them ducked out because of the heat, but they made it safely back to school, so they've been accounted for. But yeah, I'm doing like an entry level basic survival skills course for kids 3rd grade through 7th grade, and we're learning stuff like water filtration. We're learning knife safety. We're learning how to make fires. We're learning how to identify wild edibles, and just trying to inspire some more kids to get outside and enjoy, you know, the aspects of the outdoors. So I've had a great time doing it, and I'm getting a lot of positive feedback, and just the kids telling me that they're having a good time and they're learning some stuff. Mm-hmm. I can tell by their attentiveness that I'm making some sort of impact on a couple of kids. I'm having a lot of fun.
Kids so do the kids or the parents recognize you from the TV show?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's funny now. So, like, the little kids, not so much. They've heard of the show, maybe a few of them. But the older kids come in, and as soon as they sit down, hands are going up. Yeah. I saw you on that show, and you did this and this and this and this, and my dad watched you, and my whole family watches you, and they know. So that's really neat.
Thank God you got that instead of, you know, kids, how they say things. And my dad said you were dumb and made the wrong decision.
No, I've been fortunate enough to get, like, almost
accolades.
Just positive feedback from stuff I did on the show because
I'm
one of the few things. I'm one of the few people that feels like, I'm not one of the few people, but I know there's people who don't feel like the show represented them in a positive fashion.
Okay.
But I think that everything that I put on the show, they aired me exactly like I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that people liked it because they just liked who I was.
Yeah.
And I think that's really neat about the show. But
that's awesome.
Kids have recognized me. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a whole lot of the class like just answering alone questions.
So do you need me to adjust your title from professional survivalist to famous survivalist? Would that be better?
No, I don't know.
We'll just stick to Brit.
There's nothing famous about me. I'm just a guy who wanted to go camping and then just turned into me talking to other people about camping.
Yep.
That's all it is. I don't understand
helping the kids out is very important.
Well, that's fun. And I mean, I've been kind of associated with school systems since my teen years. Mm. I used to teach computers and chess to younger kids when I was in my teens. And so that's just something I've always wanted to do. When I'm not doing this stuff, I'm actually driving a school bus. Yep. I drive a school bus back in Georgia, so I've just always had a relationship with kids, and you know, I've been teacher's assistants throughout the course of my life, and I don't know, I just I like to teach, mm-hmm. and if the kids want to learn, I have a lot of fun doing it.
It's funny because I just was remembering you were talking about, you know, edibles, the mm-hmm. from finding things that are on the ground and whatever that you can eat, and how many of us just, like you said, like I go out in my garden and pull weeds, and then come to find out.
You should have eaten them.
90% of what I'm pulling out all have some type of purpose that I can use, right? And so that reminded me of when we were in the day and we went to cover another event for some 3D homes going to be printed in town.
Uh-huh.
And one of the representatives of the local tribe was there, Jack Potter. And so we were trampling through the grass in the park and stuff trying to get to the place that they were going to print this home. And Jack's like, that's whatever. He just keeps pointing all these plants down. He's like, if you pull that out and you boil it, it's like a potato. Blah, blah. But as an indigenous person and people, that's in what they know, right? And
right.
Like, I'm looking at the ground going, oh, these damn weeds. And he's like, oh, you could make a full feast out of this.
I know. It's a skill that a lot of people should probably adopt, just because there's so many things that we pass over that we could be using for medicines or tinctures or poultices or teas or remedies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we just spray them with chemicals and get rid of them all and don't even know what's, you know, underneath our feet a majority of the time.
And we talk about all the time sustainable farming and, right. you know, farmers markets and do you know where your food's coming from? And we talk about food shortages, and it's like, for the love of God, why aren't we being taught that half the stuff that's around us is something that we could actually, partly sustain ourselves if we needed to?
I don't know. I think this should be part of the kids' curriculum.
It should be compulsory in school.
Start it right now and then just grow with them.
Yeah, a special class on how to grow your own food.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the timing is right. We've discussed this on the show a few times, that people right now, whether they're doing research or whether they feel it in their gut, something, but people are starting to prep, right? And what I mean by prep is they're starting to store their food, they're starting to, like, they can feel.
It's the climate now.
We're turning into hamsters.
You know, and, I see it with people who don't even necessarily pay attention, but they just feel it. They feel something in their gut, like, hey, you better have 6 months worth of food.
Right.
Stored based on what they think is coming down the pathway. So, and I think other aspects are going to be important too, right? Being able to survive when the lights go out.
Just having a basic set of skills can take you a long way, but you know, having the greatest tool that you're going to have is your brain. So if you can just get as much knowledge in there you can about just the basics of survival, I mean, just water, fire, shelter, and how to procure a little bit of food. That'll take you miles further than probably a whole lot of people that you know right now.
Yeah.
So it's just the basics.
The first wave will be gone.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it took you 56 days in Mongolia.
Pretty much. Took me 56 days before I had to bow out of there. But if I can make it, you know, if everybody before me makes it 55 days, then I'll be there and I'll be good.
Okay. So now 56 days, like, so after like 10 days, do you catch yourself like talking to yourself or?
I'm always talking to myself. I think that's one of the symptoms of being by yourself a whole lot of the time.
I think it's a healthy thing when you're by yourself if you talk to yourself.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. My family just got accustomed to the fact that when they hear my voice all the time, I'm not addressing them. And so I don't know. I can be thinking something, but it doesn't fully materialize until my actual thought unless I can hear it in my ears. Uh-huh. So I talk to myself all the time, and it's not, I don't find anything wrong with it. I mean, no. I don't know. It starts sounding weird, but yeah. I just talk out loud. I like to hear what I'm thinking.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So I don't.
You're an external processor.
There you go. Thank you.
There
you go. Sound less loony.
You learn auditorily, even if it comes from yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
So one of the things we're talking about doing, we were going to do this year, but pandemic kind of threw
curveballed everybody.
Curveballed everybody. But one of the things we're talking about doing next year is California off the grid,
mm-hmm.
and doing a guided expedition. through the northern part of the Trinities here.
Yeah.
And see if you would want to come and guide a select few people Drop them off with you and say, see you later.
You know I want to do
Pat's
that.
Pat's in there saying, he's ready.
You know
ready.
I want to do that.
Yeah, but that's not fair for Pat.
No, I'm in there. That's my stomping grounds. I'd love to be on that. I'll be there.
All right.
Yeah, but you would survive just by being there.
Pat, we're gonna make you the pack mule.
The pack mule.
So we are actually thinking about that because there, even though Pat is from there are many square miles within the California Adventure District where mm-hmm. you're literally in the middle of nowhere.
All right.
Like, there's no such thing. There's no
only thing that's out there are animals and Bigfoot.
Been some sightings lately?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We just got back from last week, Bigfoot days in Willow Creek.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, big, big event.
Yeah, and I know Pat is one who put the footprints down for people to find. but there's some interesting stuff going on in the up in the wilderness area of Northern California, and especially when you ask some of the tribal people or the Hoopa,
mm-hmm.
they'll tell you, yeah, you know, there's stuff in the forest.
There's something. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the point where the sheriff don't even respond anymore if you call him.
Oh, wow.
So, right.
And then if they do, they just tell you not to talk about it.
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Keep it hushed?
Yeah. All it's right. funny. They kind of do.
So anyway, that's all going to be part of the marketing material.
Yeah.
All right.
Survival off the grid.
That would be amazing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there are lots of people that would be a big thing. A lot of people would love to do something like that.
Well, you know,
not only that, just to meet you, right?
You know, this whole thing about adventure and survival and all that kind of stuff. There is an element of danger to it, right? And so without an element of danger, right? I mean, even in the word itself, survival, right? There's surviving, and then there's not surviving.
True.
Right? So yeah. there's an element of danger in there. When you were, Mongolia for 56 days, did you ever feel like, okay?
Yeah.
They forgot about me.
No, I would say there were legitimate times that I was worried about my well-being from what I either heard or what I stumbled across. There were many times at night I would hear animals, large animals, right outside my shelter wall, and my shelter's only this big.
Yeah.
I would hear things run up and just skid to a stop and just start smelling right here.
Oh, God.
And I would hear large animals run past me and just run right through the river like it was nothing, in a river I couldn't even stand up in because it was rushing so hard. There was a time I was going fishing, and I look right next to me, and I see all these fresh bear scratches at eye level, and I'm like, okay, well, there's something here. And it was fresh, and I could see fresh bear scat, but I needed food, so I'm like, I got to fish. But, yeah, you are legitimately in a situation where you could be in danger very quickly, and there isn't help for very, you know, it'd take a long time for somebody
and
to get
there. And that's part of that large...
That's part of the understanding.
The package that you sign.
Right. So that's why you're encouraged to keep your emergency button with you, because if you need help, you got to hit that button, and hopefully they'll get there in time to keep you from surviving.
Pretty much that's not going to happen. You might not even get to the button.
Right, that's why they say keep it right here. But
so if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you push that button, is there a time, like a time frame that they would be there, you think?
It could be an hour.
Yeah.
Because if you hit that button, they're coming in. And if you hit that button and they try to contact you and there's no response, or even if there is a response, if you hit that emergency button, they're coming in like, it's an emergency. We need to get paramedics, extraction team, all this stuff. So they have to muster all their stuff together and then travel from wherever they're coming from to come get you and cross that river to come get you. So it was not instantaneous when I finally asked them to come and get me.
Of the competitors, are you still in touch with any of them? Is it like a... Is it like a
fraternity?
The Brady Bunch.
There's a lot of people that I kept in touch with, mostly up until my season 5, because after that season, I lost a little bit of a, connection just because I didn't watch it as much because I didn't like to watch the people going through the stuff that would like trigger things that I remembered going through.
Gosh.
Because we're fortunate enough to to have short memories for pain.
Yeah.
But we remember all the good stuff.
Yeah.
So I like to remember all the good stuff that happened.
Yeah.
And watching people out there like suffering and freezing and, you know, desolate, missing family.
So but you go hear back all the time about women having babies, right? Well, there wouldn't be any enough of us if they could remember the horror of it all the time.
Right. But yeah, I did make a few really good friends from the time I was on the show, and I still keep in contact with them. I was conversing with them today.
That's cool.
Yeah. Use some of their stuff in my teachings as well, because they taught me a lot of stuff as well.
Would you do it again?
I would. Well, you know what? I would love the experience of it, but the toll it took on me physically, like I experienced a lot of muscle atrophy. I was really weak, and it took a long time for me to get back. So my head says I'd love to do it, but my body and my wife says I'm not doing it again. She says no more.
Yeah.
So this sounds kind of weird, but is there an age thing that comes into play too? Is there like a an age gap between that you would be most prone to surviving if it's not something you did every single day, right?
Do you mean
like you know, let's say you're in your 20s and 30s, you have the best shot of like lasting 56 days or
it depends on how much knowledge you've acquired by the time you're at that age. Like you could have, there have been people out there who I think the oldest guy who was out there was like mid 50s, but he has so much knowledge. Like he's just an off the grid bushman, like full time. So he got out there,
Nigel.
And he would have lasted forever if it wasn't for hypothermia. He got wet one night. But so I wouldn't necessarily say. I have seen that some of the younger people aren't as well prepared for the mental strain of the situation. So sometimes they can't handle, like, they haven't experienced a lot of turmoil in their life or obstacles.
I was going to say, this is completely based upon. Yeah, I mean, you know, yes, it's nice to be probably young and super fit physically, but if you're in I don't care how great shape you are, if you're in a mental basket case, I mean,
right.
It makes no difference how strong you are, right?
Right.
It's just, where an older person's experience could bring, they may not have the stamina, but the smarts allows them to conquer something that the next person isn't, just because they're smart enough to figure out
exactly
how to circumvent that. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Great. Yeah. Okay, Pat, we're ready for one last break.
One last one.
We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
I think Pat's having a lot of fun in there.
I know. Well, I love the airplane.
Yeah.
Right? I just want to hear.
That's good. You're more awesome, Pat. Anyway, welcome back, Northern California. This is Nigel and James.
James, yeah.
It's July 20th.
And we're getting back to a little bit of our roots here.
Yep.
California Venture District and our incredible guest giving us such incredible fun and insight on something that, you know, we're very lucky to be able to.
Yeah, we have Britt Hart with us, contestant on 2 seasons of History Channels alone.
Yep.
So he has some experience of being in the middle of nowhere for an extended period of time and having to improvise when it comes to food and shelter. And how about laundry? Like, what do you do with the laundry?
Well, so we have the option. No, I was never going in that river. It was ice cold. Yeah, no polar bear club for me. So they have, you have the option to take a pot or a pan or whatever. I took a little small pot, a little panda pot, and I'd boil my water in that and cook my food in that, and it was also my laundry.
Yeah.
So, hey, listen, you're a whole new level of grime when you're out there. 2 months no shower.
But itchy butt. Yeah, no. I get all those spines off the rose hips. No itchy butt for Britt.
So you survived 35 days 35, in Patagonia,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
56 days
in Mongolia.
In Mongolia. Mm-hmm. Was it the same thing then when they picked you up from Mongolia that you didn't know if you were second or fifth or first, or did you have an inclination?
Well, I knew that I wasn't first when they picked me up in Argentina just because I chose to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was just hoping. I was like, maybe I'm... But I knew when I left at day 56 I wasn't the last one because they would have come to get me, you know, preemptively. Uh-huh. But I called them.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know where I was.
How much time went by between them picking you up in Mongolia to them notifying the other guy? Did they let the other guy just go for another 10 days?
No, because they know the physical and mental state that we're all in and how cold it is out there. I think it's the coldest capital city on the planet that we were near, Ulaanbaatar. So yeah, they don't let anybody spend time out there. Plus, the whole crew is ready to go home.
Yeah. Yep.
They've been away from their homes too. So.
So do you get to dress appropriately for the environment that you're going into? I mean, to an extent?
Yeah.
So like going into there, you're saying it was cold. Were you dressed?
Oh yeah. So before you even go there, they tell you where you're going. So mm-hmm. you have a chance to brush up on the landscape,
okay.
the flora, the fauna, and then, you know, source your gear appropriately for.
Okay. And what are you allowed to bring with you? I mean, are you just given one item, or do you get like a knife, some monofilament for fishing?
Right. You're allowed to pick 10 items off of a long, long list of items. But I mean, when a sleeping bag and a cooking pot are your item, those things start to get really, really precious as to what you're going to pick. So
yeah.
So you have
so those kind of even things, like, so you don't die, a sleeping bag, and
right.
Freezing weather. It's,
right.
And that's an item.
Cordage and some fishing, mm-hmm. and then something to, a knife and a saw. And what are we at? Already 7?
Mm-hmm.
So we're running in a cooking pot. I don't know if I said that. Yep. My ferro rod.
Yeah.
I took a bow one time, and I took a multi-tool, and I took some trapping wire. I think that's 10 items, and then that's what you have.
Huh.
So you have, and I got to build a shelter.
Sure.
And
I'd have all those things and not know what to do with a single one of them. I'd be like, look at this, I could open a shop.
That's what you would do.
You become you figure out what you need, and you figure out what you can use your tools, how you can use your tools to make that. Because mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff I did out there I hadn't done before. I'm like, I need to figure out how to fish. I got to make a fishing lure mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
I'd be looking for locals and say, I'll trade you 3 nights in your cabin.
Yeah, right.
For this pot.
No locals. No,
56 nights.
Yeah.
Since you came back from Mongolia, have you gone on any other expeditions by yourself with your family where you say, and you just split for a couple of days or what?
I've done a little bit of overnight camping with my son, but not too – he's younger and he isn't totally comfortable when the sun goes down and he's in the woods. And also, when I'm with him, I can't relax as much because I'm more worried for him.
Yep.
So we've gone on just little overnights here and there, but nothing too extensive. But I am actually going to be on another show that's coming on TV in August, which is kind of a spinoff of Alone. And it's called Alone, the Skills Challenge, where it takes past Alone participants and we're doing kind of bushcraft build-offs against each other from our homes. And that's coming on TV August 4th. Yeah, it's going to be coming on after Alone on Thursdays on the History Channel.
Well, that's actually really smart of them because they've got a knowledge base and a wealth of people that have the experience, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, there's only so many times you can do it. Obviously, your wife, for instance. No, not again.
right.
But here you are going to be able to still participate within the confines of the show
right.
in a newer way and not have to leave your family.
Exactly.
Super smart.
Yeah.
That's good marketing.
I love still being a part of it because it's been a very
good franchise.
Right, and it's been a huge part of what's made me who I am today.
Yeah.
Changed a lot of things about me.
I think that's awesome.
So bottom line for surviving is mental preparedness?
That's definitely the number one. You can have all the tools in your bag if you don't know what you're doing or you're not focused or, knowledgeable, then all those tools mean nothing.
Mentally fragile.
Be prepared mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume not be addicted to anything, whether it be caffeine or...
Yeah, that was hard to give up. You're an everyday coffee drinker, and you don't realize it until, after a week you have no coffee. I'm like, damn, I kind of just want something.
That just gave me, my whole heart just dropped.
Right.
That was fear. I just felt fear. No coffee.
Right. Yeah, you can't take, if you smoke cigars or cigarettes, nobody can take that. You can't take anything.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And you can't fabricate that stuff out there. That's against the rules.
Oh, really?
They say you better not find anything and smoke anything.
Well, that...
A banana peel.
That puts kind of a wrench in the whole Humboldt experience, then.
Right, I know, right?
All right.
Could you imagine the torture, though, if you did that? I mean, the munchies would nearly kill you thinking of food.
That's when the insects would taste really good.
I know, right?
You know, all the mice.
Would you say that I think I already know, but there are some areas in the United States that would be perfect for, an alone season.
Yeah, I thought that it would be neat if they did one down in Louisiana.
It was like the bayou area?
Yeah, I thought that would be an interesting area. I know, but it'd be a totally different landscape. Oh. The thing that the show does, though, is it wants to put people somewhere on the onset of winter.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of negates that area because they want it to be harsher conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you drop somebody where everything's like springing and, you know, there's fish all the time, then it makes it a much easier concept because everybody would just, you know, a lot of people would just take it as like a nice extended camping trip.
I don't care what time of the year it was down there. I mean, you're talking water moccasins and alligators and.
Well, I think you could have a really short season if you dropped them off in Death Valley and said walk across. Because
yeah.
Sometimes I see some of these people, you know, that obviously dumb decision. They decide they're going to walk across Death Valley, right? And they find them a few days later and they're just.
It's named that for a reason, right?
They're a chip.
Bad choice.
I'm following a guy on YouTube right now, and he's hiking through the northern Rocky Mountains by himself.
Okay.
No shelter, no nothing. And he's preparing for his hike up to northern Canada, all the way to as far north as he can go.
Wow.
God bless him.
Good luck, yeah.
Yeah. You know. Okay, so Britt Ahart, thank you for being with us. Britt is in town for the Cascade School District.
He's
one of the adventure leaders,
mm-hmm.
Team leaders for the Cascade Adventure Camp.
So cool.
Yeah.
And I'll actually see you tomorrow. I'll come out tomorrow and take some pictures.
All right, sounds great.
And the kids are enjoying their experience with you?
They are. They are. Just from the side comments I hear and the questions they're asking, I know they're enjoying it. I'm getting some good feedback from them.
So. Any interesting characters amongst the kids?
Yes.
There are
interesting characters. So I've met like 30 different personalities and some of them are very, very captivating and
annoying.
Interesting. Didn't use that word, but they're interesting. But yeah, there's some kids that have a lot more experience than I would have realized, which is really
Redding,
impressive.
There's a lot of people that do a lot of camping and do that kind of stuff. There are a lot of families here that love to teach their kids out all the kind of things of outdoors. I mean, my kids have friends that they go out. My kids are constantly going out camping 3 or 4 nights, and they're fishing and hunting and doing all that kind of stuff. And I'm always just like, wow, all these kids know what to do. I'm like, don't have a clue.
All right, so it's great. So I'm not just talking. I'm actually having conversations with them because they're more knowledgeable than I would have expected when I first walked in here.
Mm.
So it's fun having a back and forth instead of me just talking to them all the time. They have good questions and good stories and mm-hmm. good insight and surprisingly some good experiences to be so small.
That's awesome.
And, cool. And they'll be teaching their parents.
I hope so. I mean, that's what I'm hoping to do. I'm hoping to make them interested enough that they want to carry this on and you know, teach their siblings or show their parents next time we walk through the park and I point out some plants and stuff here. The next time they go through, they can be like, hey, we learned about this and this and this. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Take a mushroom off the tree and feed it to their sibling. Here, eat this.
No,
so, how has the school administration?
Oh, they've been fantastic.
Yeah.
They've been really accommodating, really enthusiastic. Everybody's so on board that it's been just a very pleasurable and very gratifying experience.
That's awesome. That's
a lot more than because I didn't know totally what to expect mm-hmm. when I came up here, but everybody is so on board and invested in making this camp like a great experience for the kids.
Yep.
That has been really, really fun.
That's awesome.
So if you're listening and you are in Redding, Shasta County, actually, going to be doing this again next year. I know that for a fact almost.
Well, we would just be between you and me and California Adventure District. I mean, we have plans, right?
Yeah, we have plans.
We have plans with this man.
But even, but even for your kids, right? For the kids who are in the school districts here, I think they're going to be expanding the whole adventure camp idea, and you'll be back to, you know, lead kids on their survival path, right?
Yep.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, I could see you could have incredible plans here for our area. I mean, with the kids on, you know, with Lassen, the parks, and I mean.
But it's my goal to take him up into Humboldt, Crescent City, Del Norte area.
Are you going
to
share him?
And the whole Bigfoot experience and have him say never again. Have him say never again, you know?
No, yeah.
Mongolia, 56 days, no
what
problem.
A breeze.
Humboldt, one night, no. All right. Britt, thank you again for
joining
us.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
It's
I had a great
such
time.
Such a pleasure. Tanner, now I'm going to go home and binge watch all of you.
Please. It's just a great show. It's really a really fun watch.
Yeah. And James and I will enter for the next season.
Yeah, right.
Thank you very much, Northern California. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.